When you woke up this morning, there was no way for you to know exactly how many decisions you would have to make today. You're going to make a lot of decisions today, but you never know how many you're going to have to make. But one thing is for sure, every day of your life is filled with decisions. Sometimes they're simple decisions. Things like, what are you going to wear to church this morning? Was that a simple decision for you today? The husbands are saying, see, honey, I told you. It's not supposed to be that hard. Come on. Some decisions are very simple. Like, what are you going to eat after lunch today? But as life goes on, church, you're going to encounter some choices between divergent paths. Choices that really matter for the course of your life. Choices that have to do with things like your relationships, your family, your job. Tough choices at times that cause you to have to weigh opportunities on the balance and figure out if you're going to take a chance or are you going to play it safe. Things like, who will I marry? What will I do for a living? How will I invest my time, talent, resources, my money? Where will I live? You know, sometimes the most important choice that you make over the course of a day can be simplified to something as basic as simply this. When you're involved in a conversation, what am I going to say to this person or that person? Sometimes that's a very serious choice. But church, if you keep living, before long, you're going to be standing in front of a crossroad. And one path will seem so promising. And one decision will seem very, very wise. Yet, here's the truth this morning. Without God's guidance and without His truth mapping out your way, no matter how promising or how wise that choice looks, without the influence of Jesus and His Word in your life, ordering your steps, you risk straying into dangerous ground and you risk straying into dark territory in the long run. Maybe you've been there before. I've been there before and I've made some good choices and I've made some bad choices. How many realize this morning sometimes things appear to be the perfect choice? But without God ordering your steps every day, you might step off into something that you look back on and really, really regret. There are really just two great challenges and two great blessings that are linked to you having your steps ordered by the Lord each and every day. I want to focus on those for just a couple of moments. First of all, our two great challenges to being ordered by the Lord every day. The first great challenge is simply this, human impatience. How many of y'all consider yourself to be a very patient person? Let's get out on the limb. Who was willing to raise your hand and say, I'm really patient? Come on. I see a few people that said, I'm really patient. One of the great challenges to having God order our steps every day is human impatience. And here's why. Because in our flesh and in this life, we are conditioned not only to want, but to expect instant gratification on things. How many realize we want it now? We want what we want, and we want it when we want it. And that's a problem. God led me to this very familiar story to help illustrate this point today. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, there's the story of Samuel. He had the job of anointing the next great king of Israel. And God told the prophet to go to see Jesse in Bethlehem because one of Jesse's sons would be the next great king. And so when Samuel got to Jesse's house in Bethlehem, the Bible says that Jesse had 8 sons, but he only rolled out 7 of his 8 sons. And when Samuel looked at all of those 7 sons, they really looked impressive. They looked the part. They looked kingly. They were big. They were handsome. They were tall. they were strong. But your Bible says that God rejected all seven of those initial brothers. And it confused Samuel. And here's what God told Samuel. He said, stop looking at the outward appearance and stop being so impressed by the physical stature of the man. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Mankind looks and sees outwardly, but God looks at the heart. I've been so thankful for that in my life. God looks at the heart. And so Samuel confronted Jesse. He said, you know what? I've looked at all of your sons, and God said, no, on each one of them, you must have another son. And finally, Jesse had to admit, yes, there's one more son, but he was young. He was small. He didn't look the part. He didn't look like a king. In fact, his father did not even include him in the lineup to be considered. No, his other son was left out in the field tending to the sheep while his brothers got to come before the prophet to be considered for the anointing. He was left out. But when Samuel found out that Jesse had an eighth son, he said, bring him to me. And when the eighth son got there, Samuel looked beyond the outward appearance into the heart of the young man, and Samuel knew that he was the one, and King David received the anointing and the call to be the next great king. I've often wondered, almost every time I've ever read this story, what would have happened if David had become impatient? What would have happened if David had received his anointing and his call and then began to demand instant gratification from his call to be king? What if David had wanted it right now, like you and I frequently do? Notice in your Bible that David didn't get puffed up. He didn't begin to immediately start ordering people around and saying, hey, I'm the king. That's not what happened. No, God was ordering his steps. God was making the moves in his life. And David was willing to be patient. He was willing to follow God's timing for his next level. That's very relevant to us today, because especially for our grads and our families. Because you can't get impatient. David didn't do it, and that's what helped him to overcome the second great challenge of God ordering our steps, and that is this: fear and doubt. Everybody say fear and doubt, or questioning God's plan. Friends, when God leads us through difficult seasons in life, have you noticed that our tendency is to get nervous and begin questioning God's plan? We need to be reminded this morning that when God is ordering our steps, his path is usually not a smooth, fast, beautiful, scenic trail. Have you noticed that in life? Oh, we wish it was always beautiful and free of bumps and bruises along the way. But you might have found out as you've lived through some things in your life that God will lead you right to and lead you right through challenges and obstacles. Now, why is it that God leads you to and through challenges? Because he is developing you and he's watching you grow closer and more reliant upon him along your journey as he's leading you. When God is ordering your steps, it's faulty to expect everything to be smooth sailing all the time. Sometimes you got to learn how to trust God through some rough patches. I'm preaching it better than you're shouting right there. Come on. Anybody ever been through some rough patches? Has God been faithful through your rough patches? David was anointed king over at his daddy's house one day. But do you know how long it actually was before he took the throne? It was about 15 years. 15 years. David was walking around for about 15 years, knowing in his life, in his heart, and in his mind that he was the king, while waiting and living out his opportunity to come alive in his life. Some things had to happen before he was ready to assume the role that he was called by God to do. And I want to encourage you with that today. Church, in that time period, that waiting period for David, while he was waiting, while he was knowing that he was the anointed king, there's some things that happened. Maybe you're familiar with the story. Before he actually took the throne, the Bible says that David served in Saul's court as a courtly musician. He also took the stand with Israel and defeated the Philistine giant Goliath. How many remember that story? This is before he became king. He became a military commander in Saul's army. He led victorious battles against the Philistines. At one point, Saul even tried to kill him, and David ran for his life. Right in the middle of all this, he put in years investing into one of the most valuable relationships of his life, his best friend, Jonathan, all before ever taking the throne. He went into exile for a long time, hiding out in a cave, rough patches before it gets better. Come on, somebody. I want to build your faith right now. I want to make sure that your expectations for your next steps in life, graduates, families, moms and dads, people who are expecting God to do something great in your next, the enemy will lie to you and tempt you to give up and throw in the towel, tempt you to lose faith and lose heart just because there are some rough patches along the way. Along his way, David had two, read them in your Bible, two opportunities to kill King Saul and take the throne too early. But he refused to do it. Eventually, he would be anointed the leader over the tribe of Judah and finally, eventually, became the rightful king of Israel and unified the whole kingdom. Thank God. What does that mean for me and you this morning? Here it is. There may be a king or a queen inside of you. And when God is ordering your steps, you need to rest assured knowing that you will assume your rightful role as king or queen in God's plan when God is ready and when you are ready. Don't be impatient, but wait and serve and watch what God can do in the long run. Don't be afraid and pull up short on your faith and your consistency just because God's steps lead you through some tough seasons and some rough patches. Why? He's not done with you yet. It's like my mama always reminds me, if God will lead you through it, he'll lead you to it, he'll lead you through it. Amen. How many of y'all heard that one before? If he'll lead you to it. There are also two great blessings associated with God ordering our steps. That first great blessing is simply this. When God is ordering your steps, eventually you are going to land in peace beyond understanding. If he's ordering your steps, you're going to land right in the middle of peace eventually. Philippians 4:7 reminds us, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He may lead you through some windy paths that require you to exercise your faith and learn how to rely upon him. But eventually, church, you're going to find his path will lead you to supernatural peace. It passes understanding. That means when you look around your circumstances and all the evidence says that there's no reason for you to be at peace, you just know that it's coming from somewhere. It may not look great right now. You may not be able to align everything right now, but it just doesn't feel like it should be peaceful. But you know what? God led you there, and He's ordering your steps, and that's why you've got peace that you don't understand why you have peace. Amen. You have peace anyway. The second great blessing is this. The second great blessing is that when He's ordering your steps, eventually you will experience God's promise of real joy. Everybody say real joy. Not temporary joy based on circumstances. No, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. I've said this before, but maybe we need to be reminded. Sometimes when we're walking our own path, we're walking toward happiness. But God's path always leads to joy. And there's a great difference between happiness and joy. See, happiness is circumstantial based on everything going your way and everything always being peachy along the way. And if everything's going all right, then you find yourself happy. But joy is different. How many of y'all realize joy is something whole different? Joy is an abiding trait of the Holy Spirit in your life. His abiding joy means that everything doesn't have to be going your way and you still have some joy. Is there anybody here who knows what I'm talking about on that one right there? Well, I can't find joy because nothing's working out. Let me tell you this. You're looking to circumstances to make you happy instead of relying upon God's Spirit to give you His abiding joy in your life. This is what Jesus said in John 15. This is what Jesus said. He said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, and my joy will remain in you, and your joy will be full." Church, what does that mean? It means this right here. You may have to wake up sometimes, look yourself in the mirror, and remind yourself, hey, self, I'm not serving myself and doing my own thing, my own agenda right now. No, my steps are ordered by the Lord. And that means that peace and joy are going to accompany my life. There's nothing that the world can do about it. There's nothing that my enemies can do about it. Jesus has said it, that when He orders my step, He will lead me to peace and joy, and they can't stop the promise of God in my life or in my family. He said it, and it is done, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. Can you receive it today? Let's do a quick self-check. I want to answer this question. We're going to be done. How can I be sure that my steps are being ordered of the Lord? Don't you want to be sure? How many will say along with me this morning, I want to be sure that God is ordering my steps? I found one surefire, absolute standard that you can judge it by every time. Y'all ready for this? How can I be sure? Here's the answer. Look at your screen. Is your life going against the grain of the world? That's how you know if God is ordering your steps. Is your life going against the grain of the world? Here's what Jesus said about that in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." You can take this one to the bank. Jesus always orders your steps through the narrow gate, never the wide gate. I want to say that one more time. Jesus always orders your steps through the narrow gate and never through the wide gate. Is your life going against the grain of the world? Because that's the order that He orders. The wide gate seems right to me. It's the gate of the crowd, the gate of our flesh. It represents the world's ambitions, the agendas of men. Always, 100% of the time, leads to death and to destruction. But you will know that God is ordering your steps because your life, church, will deviate from the world's way of thinking, from the world's way of living, and it will deny your own ambition, deny your own desires so that you can please the Father. That's how you know. In every step, does it please you or does it please God? Our steps are ordered by the Lord with every decision. With its challenges and its blessings, God will lead you there. I want to leave us with this scripture today. I'm going to pray for the church and we'll be dismissed today. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Will you please read out loud verse 6 with me one more time with a lot of boldness, guys? Ready? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. There's a king or a queen in you. And when He orders your steps, man, this has to do with everything in life. Everything. I like to think about it like this. His path leads to you one day assuming your role, your majestic role. But you got to take His path, man. That means to be concerned with what God says to do. Making decisions. Conducting our lives in a way that pleases God. And one day, you'll wake up and look back in reflection and take a deep breath and say, you know, it was hard, but right in the middle of it, somehow, I had peace. Right in the middle of the rough patches, somehow I had joy. Because I had to take a few turns that people didn't understand. And they said, "What are you doing?" And you had to say, "It looks good over there. It looks easy. It must be God's path because it looks easy and it looks blessed and all this jive." You ain't read the Bible. I'll tell you like my mama. I'm talking about my mama a lot today. Y'all know what I'm saying? I'll tell you like my mama told me over the years. Every time I've ever faced a lot of hardship in our ministry life, man, we faced it a lot. My mama's always real faithful to say this. She'd say, "Son, don't forget to read your Bible. And don't forget that every person who's ever served God with their whole heart got beat up." How about that? And I always say the same thing. Thanks, Mama. Thanks, Mama, for that good reminder. Here's the thing. God's path ain't always going to be easy. It's intentionally not easy. God because he wants us learning how to cling to him and hold on to him and work by faith and trust him and develop along the way. Can y'all see it, guys? Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Thank God, thank God. Y'all receive it today? I love you. I'm so proud of you. Will you stand with me? We're going to pray. As you stand, give God praise and clap and celebrate our graduates.
Thank you so much for tuning in and worshiping with us this morning. If this is your first time, please scan the QR code on your screen. We would love to connect with you. If something stood out to you in today's service, or if you have any questions or prayer requests, leave a comment. We would love to pray with you over your needs and answer any question that you may have. Thanks again for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you next time.